Boy, were we glad when we shed these bodies, weren't you? Man, these old bodies that are hindering us from being all we can be. Man, if you were at Barbara's funeral, you heard what I talked about. These bodies hold us back, you know? And I'll be glad when I shed this old body and they put it in the ground. And all the people that I hired to weep will be there. And I had to pay them in advance. But I'm looking forward to going to heaven. As I told you before, we get saved so we can go to heaven. Then we don't want to die to go there. I'll just have to let Rush Limbaugh figure that out. Romans chapter 5. We've been in the third section of 1 through 11 on the benefits of justification, on the blessings of being right with God. When he took our sin and he gave us his righteousness, when we by faith believe in his Son and his work on Calvary, he has imputed to us righteousness. That's why we go to heaven. I'll preach that to the day I die. There's nothing good in any of us. We go there totally by the work of our Lord on the cross and his righteousness that has been given to us. So we learned it. We learned this the first 2 weeks that we have spiritual blessings that assure us we can never be out of union with him. We have peace with God in verse 1. We were enemies of God, but that's been broken down by our faith in him. No longer a wall of separation of the sin of unbelief. And we're standing in God's grace in verse 2. We stand there. That's a permanent position. We stand in God's grace. And then we hope in glory in verse 2 through 5. The unbeliever has none of that. The unbeliever has no hope of glory, just a certain judgment. And the unbeliever does not stand in grace, they stand in judgment. And the unbeliever has no peace with God because that wall of separation hasn't been broken down. And then we're going to pick up with number 4, 5, and 6 today and finish today as we look at the last three benefits of being right with God. Romans chapter 5, probably I would say, is one of my favorite chapters in the Bible, or parts of a chapter. You remember Uncle Romy, Linda, don't you? Romy? You like that? Uncle Romy? I'll never forget at his funeral, this was years ago. That's before I was... They said down there in Fort Lauderdale or Miami that the preacher got up and said that the book of Romans was his favorite book. And I see why now. We're going to pick up with number 4, the fourth benefit of being right with God. And that's found in I turned the page and it went too far. That's found in verse 5. Let's just read 5 through 11, and then I'm going to share these three last benefits with you. As we look in verse 5 of Romans 5, it says, "And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet preadventure for a good man some would even dare die. But God commended..." Again, remember these, the "but God's." Oh, they're so precious in the Word of God. They're kind of like, they're not like the seven churches of Revelation, where some of these churches he says, "Nevertheless, I have somewhat against you." But I like the "but God's." "God commended his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then," if this was not enough, "much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son. Much more," now listen to this now, "if he can reconcile us who were once enemies to himself through the work of his Son," notice what it says, "by his death, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life." You understand that? If his death saved us, his life now in the presence of God as intercessor is saving us, right? And then he goes on to say in verse 11, And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement or the reconciliation. The fourth benefit of being right with God, see, because of faith in Christ, we have peace with God. We stand in God's grace and we rejoice in hope. But fourthly, the believer receives divine love. When we got saved, that's one of the benefits of being right with God. We have divine love. And I read that text to you in verses 5 through 8. Notice verse 5. When a person receives salvation through Jesus, he enters into a spiritual love relationship with God that lasts forever. God loves us and puts his love in our hearts. That's why if you claim to be a Christian, but you don't love other people, you don't love the brethren, how can the love of God abide in your heart, right? And then in verses 6 through 8, we see the greatest demonstration of God's love in all history. Notice, he commended his love toward us, and yet while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us, died for the ungodly. What do we learn from that? Well, God sent his son to die for the helpless and the powerless who were unable to come to God. We, regardless of how much you may boast, you were dead and you were unable to come to God on your own deadness. Okay? Unable to come to God in verse 6. Verse 6 and 7, we were ungodly. We were unrighteous, undeserving, and unlovable sinners. You say, well, I was never as bad as the boy next door. Well, you don't compare yourself to the boy next door. We were enemies of God. We didn't love God before he did a work in our heart. And then in verse 6 and 7, we were ungodly. We were unrighteous. We were undeserving. We were unlovable sinners. See, how do I know that salvation is real? Many times, not only to transform life, but folks, if you get saved and act like you deserved it, you're not saved, right? Are y'all following your pastor? All right, now y'all act alive, but we're going to send y'all to Archibald and you're going to have 3 stents put in. All right? If you act like you deserve God's forgiveness and God's salvation, there's something wrong with you, right? And because of faith in Christ, we have peace with God, we stand in God's grace, we rejoice in the hope of glory, and possess divine love. But number 5, in verses 9 and 10, the believer escapes divine wrath. Look at it in verse 9 and 10. Much more then. That's another way of saying it gets gooder and gooder, right? Much more then, being now justified by his blood, being right with God by the shed blood of Christ, we shall be saved from the wrath through him. For if we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son. Much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. Now there's a chastisement that goes on in believers' lives as he corrects us and makes us more holy. But there's also eternal wrath, and that's a lake of fire that we're going to talk about in a moment. And that's not for any of us. But then there's what's called an eschatological wrath. That's the 7-year tribulation period that awaits this world after the rapture of the church. But the Bible says in verse 9, much more then, suggests that we are that what was to follow is even more overwhelming and wonderful than what he just got through talking about. Okay? Because we have been justified, we escaped the wrath of God because Christ paid our sin debt. Say it with me. I'm not going to hell because I didn't pay the wages of sin myself. Christ paid it for me. All right, we're going to have to do some stents. I'll see that right away. Come up, doctor. That ought to make a backslidden Baptist shout. Amen? Y'all don't get me upset this morning. I've already been upset one time. But y'all don't get me upset. This ought to excite y'all this morning, right? That sin debt was taken away. You believe that Jesus died in your place. And the wrath of God does not abide on you because it abided on his son, right? Y'all show a little life or we're going to be here a little longer. Much more then. What is to follow is even more overwhelming. Because we have been justified, we escaped the wrath of God. Because Christ paid our sin debt, we have been delivered from the wrath of God on the sinner and the sin to come. Verse 10, if God has the power to save us, now y'all listen to me now. If God has the power to save us, he also has the power to keep us, right? Well, I believe in grace, I'm saved, but I gotta work like the devil to keep my salvation. No, you work because you're saved, right? I gotta earn God's favor. There's nothing you can do to gain God's favor before salvation or after. He's pleased when you serve him, yes. He saved us through the death of his son, and he will keep us by the life of his son. I like that. Next time you wonder if God, Christ, and his intercessory work in the third heaven can keep you saved, remember, if the death of his son on the cross can keep you, so can his life keep you. If God has made our salvation secure in the past, how can our spiritual life be in jeopardy now, is what Paul says. Wow. These are some rich truths. If he redeemed us in the past and will glorify us in the future, then certainly he will keep us in the present. Are you with me? If you're eternally secure in the past, eternally secure in the future, then you're eternally secure now, right? And I think it's high time Christians start living like it. I believe that with all my heart. It is a greater work to bring sinners to grace than to bring sinners to glory. You ever thought about that? It's more work to save us than it is to take us to heaven. So because of faith in Christ, we have peace with God. We stand in God's grace. We rejoice in the hope of glory. We possess divine love and are delivered from wrath. But lastly, notice verse 11. The believer has joy in God. I'm about tired of joyless Christians. I'm hitting where the rubber hits the road today, right? You're acting worse than lost people sometimes. And I said you, I'm talking about the church as a whole, right? Let me correct that, okay? Man, you, no wonder they don't want what we got, right? They see how we rejoice, our lack of rejoicing. They see how we grieve. They see how we act when tribulations come in our life. No wonder they don't want what we got. Why would they want what we got when what we got has not affected us? Y'all know your pastor telling you the truth this morning, right? Well, I am anyway. But the believer has joy in God. And not only so, we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ. See, if you don't have Christ, you have no joy. You have no reason to come to the Father in joy, because you hadn't come to his Son. It says here, to our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. Faye, before Sunday school, came into my office and asked me, I guess she had to use this for her Sunday school class, and she wanted to know what the word atonement meant. Boy, I went into all it in depth, and she said, I'm teaching little kids, you know. And so, and I said, well, atonement means covering our sin. It means being reconciled to God, you know. So that's one of the things of a preacher sometimes, he forgets. You know, you got to put the cookies on the bottom shelf, you know.
And that's where I'm
going. Okay. What did you say? All right, that's a good starter right there. By whom we have received the atonement. Folks, you ought to rejoice because you have been reconciled to God. That the blood, shed blood of Christ has been applied to your life, right? If these were not enough, we have joy in God. We joy in the Lord because we have received. We have received, right? That's what it says there. Look what it says. Latter part of verse 11, we have received the atonement. It is a gift. Say it with me. It is a gift. You didn't earn it, right? It is a gift. You have received the atonement. The word atonement means reconciliation, brought back into fellowship with God. We've been bought off the slave market of sin into a relationship with Jesus Christ. Now, Paul explained how men declared war on God in Romans chapter 1. And because of this, they deserve to be condemned eternally forever. And by the way, I'm tired also for people thinking they don't get what they deserve from God. You don't want what you deserve, right? You don't want what you deserve. God's not a Santa Claus God up there to serve us and take care of our every needs. Pulling him off the shelf when we need him, put him back on the shelf and forget about him until we need him again, right? God did not declare war on man. Man declared war on God. He suppressed the truth for a lie and decided to worship the creation rather than the creator. So God, in his love and his mercy, being a peacemaker, sent his only begotten Son to die in our place that we might be reconciled to God. So these six justifications, or blessings of justification, assure us of eternal salvation and full assurance of it right now. Listen, why do we doubt? Well, the Word of God is so clear. It could be only two reasons. Either we're not saved or we're living in sin. Why do we doubt? We have peace with God. We stand in God's grace. We hope in glory. We possess the divine love. We've been delivered from divine wrath. And we have joy in God if you're saved. I don't want to hear anybody ever tell me being a Christian is not worth it. I don't want to hear anybody tell me that you've been disappointed since you've been a Christian. Folks, that's not true, right? Maybe you're here today without Christ. All these things don't apply to you. These six things don't apply to you. And you hear it every Sunday. And hear it every Sunday, but you fail to act. I am glad today that I am blessed beyond measure. I don't have to go outside and run around the church. I don't have to jump over eight pews. I have all these benefits for being right with God. Amen? Amen. Being right with God. And by the way, I don't want to hear anybody ever say, me and the master got it right. Oh, I heard that the other day. Woo. This was at a funeral. It wasn't one I did. They said that, talking about, well, it wasn't at a funeral. It was in the FCA banquet. They got up there and wouldn't refer to God as who he is. The speaker referred to God as the master upstairs. Well, you better be glad the master upstairs don't come down and spank you, right? He is not the master upstairs. He is God, omnipotent, all-powerful, creator God. Amen? And we need to refer to him like that. Maybe you're here today and you're without Christ. All these things I've been preaching for 3 weeks don't apply to you. But they can if you just come to Christ in repentance of sin. And place your faith alone in the atonement of Christ on the cross for your sins. You're not going to hear this anywhere else. You're not going to hear it at school. You're not going to hear it in play. You're not going to hear it on the job. You need to understand today, the only way to be right with God is to come to God through his Son, Jesus Christ. Amen? That is the only way. We want to give you that opportunity as our musicians come. Father, I pray today that whatever it is that needs to be done today, I pray for boldness and courage to do it. Not worrying about what anybody else is going to say. As I was talking with a man this past week about the hypocrites in the church. Well, I'll tell you one thing. I'd rather go to heaven from a few hypocrites in the church than go to hell with all the hypocrites. God help us. Only one that matters right now is us and Jesus. What is our relationship with him? We want to give you that opportunity. Father, do your work as only you can. We ask these things in the name of Jesus. Amen.